In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and rewatch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
As Mike Marr put it, happy Thanksgiving Eve to all.
Is it the eve in the morning?
Yeah, absolutely.
Day before.
Okay.
Because if today were Christmas Eve,
yeah,
I would say happy Christmas
day
Eve.
Day before is Christmas
at
Eve.
At 6 a.m.
Right. Yeah, New Year's Eve, day before.
Of course it's Thanksgiving Eve.
Eric Pickles here, back with his Blue Crabs hat.
That's right. I know. I like it, and I'm just not going to let you guys bully me on it. I don't care.
Hey, if you like something, it's all good, man.
We're not bullying you.
Yeah. I got to just eventually, I think I'll get this brim to a level where I'm comfortable. But
yeah. You know what? That hat is in the embryonic stage.
Yeah, it's early.
Very early.
But no, honestly, like just being getting back to Thanksgiving and everything,
yeah.
I've been just so locked in on just like family stuff, you know, doing the show, playing golf and everything. It actually is stunning to me that tomorrow's Thanksgiving. It's kind of stunning. It's not something I'm focused on.
I feel like it's late. I feel like Thanksgiving's but late this year.
I agree with that sentiment.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, just in a sense of, I'm not thinking about Thanksgiving.
Yeah, yeah.
You've done
I'm
no prep.
With you.
I've done zero prep. That would be correct.
Since my mom passed away 3 years ago, we traditionally had done Thanksgiving in Bowie, and my brother would come from New Jersey, yeah. and we'd do the get-together. But the last 3 years, we go to New Jersey to his place, so... Really don't have to do much.
Right.
Well, that's the thing.
I asked him yesterday.
I'm going to Jersey.
I was like, do you want me to bring anything? He said, how about you bake a chocolate cake? I was like,
that's so easy.
Yeah. I said, no.
Yeah.
I don't do that. Right. I said, I'm an elite orderer. I'll pick something up. So last night I went to Costco. Madhouse. Costco.
2 days before Thanksgiving.
I can't even imagine a worse day.
Yeah,
I went at 7:45 p.m.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that's...
I'm trying
my best to avoid the grocery stores over the next day and a half. But I do have to run out because we are hosting. I need to go out and get booze. I need to pick up a few things.
Right. Let me tell you something about Costco.
Some wine.
Their pies are enormous.
Gigantic.
They're biggest
they're
pies.
They're sewer lids. They're so big.
I wonder if you could even fit them in an oven.
Even the chicken pot pies are monstrous.
Yeah.
Boom! We're Costco guys. We make big pies. God, I hate
those
dudes.
What do you think? What's your instinct tell you on the price, of, I mean, the pecan pie. I got a pecan pie and a pumpkin pie.
Yeah.
All right. They're about...
They're
this,
massive.
They're about this big. I mean, they're huge.
I'm pretty dialed in on Costco. I'm going to say those pies each, and Costco, I'm shocked at the low prices. I'm going to say they're $5.99 each, or maybe $6.99.
The pecan pie was like $14.99.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But the pumpkin pie was like $5.99. Yeah. I don't know. Pecan, a lot more than pumpkin.
I have to say this, and you just can take it how you want to take it. I have to be... You can't bring a Costco stuff to Thanksgiving. I mean, it just has to be said. Someone has to.
Where do you buy your pie?
Thanksgiving, everyone makes something.
That's not how I roll.
Now I know you're above it, but you're...
It's not that I'm above it.
Sometimes for birthdays, like in a pinch, like my wife is making a cake, and I see everything that goes in. I'm like, why don't you just go to a bakery and just buy a cake? And she's like, no, I have to make it.
Or my daughter has to make it.
But for Thanksgiving, I totally agree. You can't be bringing a Giant or a Costco pie and just like,
it's like
bringing a frozen pizza.
When you don't do anything. Like, he's not hosting. He's literally showing up with
a
$5 pie.
Effort.
Right.
And the effort is
and
zero.
A $14
it's
pie.
It's less effort than
again,
me.
We're not saying you have to do it. This is one where you have to go to Jess and say,
You gotta bite the bullet.
You gotta make a pie.
I hate to be sexist. It's kind of why you get married.
Yeah.
It's not your department.
It's kind of why you get married.
I don't know how to make a pie. I wouldn't know the first thing about it. But this is one where I would go up to Amy and say, this is one where you have to make a cake.
You gotta take one for the team. Just like sometimes, you know, if it's a scary situation, you gotta go out there, check the front door with a baseball bat.
You take
one for the team. She's gotta take one for the team.
And it just doesn't come down to pie. Like, if you have packaged mashed potatoes
or
mac and cheese,
you can't do that.
Everything needs to be made.
There has to be some pride in it, too.
Like
my son is making mac and cheese.
Right.
And he killed it last year with the mac and cheese. He's like looking forward, going out and getting the ingredients, doing it himself.
My
like,
mother-in-law makes a cranberry mold that gets joned on every year. But it's kind of the joke.
Yeah.
Like, did she bring her mold?
Yeah, it's part
you
of
know,
the bit.
Everyone has a
it's tradition.
Yeah, you can't have gravy out of a packet.
No, it's ill. Yeah.
Absolutely not.
I don't have a thing, and I don't care.
Though I will say, Valdez,
I know you don't care.
We do have backup gravy out of a jar
if that's your backup gravy, that's acceptable.
Gravy.
If that's your Jameis Winston,
there's
that's
a starter
fine.
Gravy, yeah. But there's also a Cooper Rush gravy.
Right.
That's ready
fine.
For people that don't
apparently,
want
the Allville household, big gravy household.
Oh, big on gravy. Now, there are some people that don't partake in gravy, but I'm a gravy guy. My daughter is not. Of course, both of my sons are. I think my youngest son's a little picky when it comes to the gravy. He likes him the Heinz gravy out of the jar instead of the homemade. So we have that just ready to deploy.
We do Thanksgiving in Jersey with Dina's extended family, right? So her cousins. It's the one time a year she sees her cousins and everything. And I really enjoy it. I really like her. Her uncle just passed. It's going
to
be a little bit sad this year, but...
It's a big crew, you've always said.
Big crew. It's like 25, 30. Sometimes it's even more.
Big one.
Because the family that hosts it, they'll invite their neighbors who I've gotten to know, you know, over the last 20 years. It's so much food, though. And I think this is unique, but obviously we have a huge turkey. You know, I have nothing to do with it. But a huge turkey. The aunt brings the stuff. Everybody has their thing. But then there's crab dip. Then there's like a million different things. There's ham. Like, you know what I'm saying?
It's like a buffet.
Yeah. It's not just turkey, stuffing.
You're anti-buffet, but sometimes the buffet's big.
Well, it's family made.
Yeah, it means buffet like outside of the home.
There's an addition to the Thanksgiving
menu. Yeah, you have
your
traditional Thanksgiving menu.
And then you have the exotics.
There's a million other things.
Yeah, you got the add-ons.
Like a million other things. It's an incredible... It literally is... The most incredible meal of the year.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I mean, and you just feel almost sick after because you've just eaten so much.
Is there a perfect time to eat at Thanksgiving? Seems like it's always, for my family, it's always in that tweener between lunch and dinner.
I think we're doing like 4 o'clock dinner.
Tweener.
It's a tweener, yeah. I mean, you don't do Thanksgiving dinner at 6
well,
or
the
5:30.
Other thing is, don't you have apps? We have an hour of apps. Like, you just...
No. You have appy hour.
Apps.
Like, silly.
Pigs in a blanket.
No. Oh,
I mean, anything you can think of. Crab dip.
12:30, 1 o'clock.
Loaded skins?
Really? Yes.
I've heard a lot of families do that. So it's almost lunch.
Yes.
And then you have the leftovers like for dinner at 6. Mm. That actually, to me, makes the most sense. My family has never done that. We've always been kind of in that cakes region of 4 o'clock.
Yeah, 3:30, 4 o'clock is kind of the sweet spot.
We're a later eating crew. And then we do a big family pick every year that's just a big cluster.
Every family does that, and every family dreads it.
You got to get the tripod out. You
it's
know,
a disaster.
Set the timer.
The picture's always bad.
You got 30 people. You're trying to fit everybody in, and you got the older people on the couch, the little kids in the front, the old fart tall guys in the
The picture
squeeze everybody in. Moving
picture,
all furniture.
The picture always sucks.
The picture is a
always.
But it's always awesome that you have it.
It's good that you have it, but you look back on it. You're like, wow.
But again,
this picture
I have nothing to do with even that one.
Yeah.
You know, Dina's cousins. Say, literally. I couldn't do less, except for you. You're the only one that does less.
No, I actually did more. I went out and got some pie.
You go around the table, and everyone says what they're thankful for.
We used to do that. I think it's kind of faded over the last few years.
That's probably more of a nuclear family thing. Like, if it's just the 4 or 5 of you, not with 30 people.
Yeah, I mean, that would take 20 minutes.
You know what I mean?
Food will get cold.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always ask my kids, tell me something great about your dad. I'm not kidding.
It's a back patio.
You know what? I believe you.
Tell me something great about your dad. Tell me what you love about your dad.
You loan out the back padding for a second.
Listen,
so they can pat your back.
I say so many nice things about my kids. I think one of my best qualities is I tell my kids how much I love them all the time, 9 million times. I'm sure you guys do the same thing. So tell me, hey, let's reverse the mojo.
Yeah, let's
here a
reciprocity.
It's my turn.
Yeah, now let's tell something great about your dad. What do you love about your dad? Usually they come up with one thing.
I still can't believe that JP went to Costco at 7:45 two nights before Thanksgiving. That is
bananas.
I mean, did you even find a parking spot? Like,
oh yeah, that actually wasn't a problem.
Okay.
It wasn't as crowded. The problem was the checkout area. Usually, because I only went in for pie.
Okay,
I got pie and cookies.
Yeah.
Okay. Usually I'll do a full loop.
Sure.
And I come from the side, and I like that self-checkout area on the right side.
Yep.
Well, I went through the middle, which was a mistake, and I was just being patient, so that was long. And then I saw that there was nothing, there was a space over to the self-checkout, but that line came from the back right.
Oh, okay.
And some lady's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I was like, what do you mean? She's like, points to the line.
Yeah. You know who
like,
you were?
Oh.
You were the kid. The
That's
main
actually
character.
Humiliating.
You were the main character, and his name is slipping my mind, in A Christmas Story where they went to the front of the line to go see Santa, and the dad looks at him and says, what do you think you're doing? This is the front of the line. The back of the line is over there.
Hey, how many?
But it was only a total, like, in line to pay for my pie.
Yeah.
7 minutes. It wasn't that bad.
All right, that's not terrible.
It's not horrible, but just
I actually find I know that you
hell.
It's like now Thanksgiving's different. I actually find the best time to go to Costco in Gaithersburg.
Yeah,
is right around 8 o'clock on a Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday.
Well, that's probably correct, but I'm usually 1¾ beers deep into my bedtime routine by that time.
It's
of the
definitely
night.
The best time to go.
What sure in the later evening? You say?
Yeah, yeah, like half hour.
What time
closing.
Does it even open?
Oh, like 9 a.m., 8:30 or something?
That's not a good time to go?
I mean, if you're there at the very beginning.
If you're there right at the opening. Now, the Costco in Gaithersburg that opens at 10 a.m. on Sunday, they open the doors early. They're like, screw it. We got 1,000 people outside.
Let them in
at like 9:45.
Well, they also let senior citizens in early.
Well, we're close to that territory.
I'm at 54.
Why was the host who's hosting all these people ask JP to bring a chocolate cake? Why wouldn't you just get a chocolate cake? Why
I didn't see one there. No, I mean, he didn't really care. He was talking about his bear that was in the front yard.
Kind of weird. Like, he just wanted a dessert. I'm making everything. Can you just bring a chocolate cake?
Yeah, man, I'm actually stunned. That's like the bare minimum.
Bare minimum? I see what you're doing there.
Yeah. I mean,
I think he just threw it out there.
You should stop and get a chocolate cake.
Whatever.
One thing I have learned that
I sent a message to my sister-in-law, and she was fired up for the pie.
Yeah, she's just playing nice. Listen, can't you understand that? One thing I have learned, and I've been slow to this party, but that we have family. We just like all you guys. Everyone has family get-togethers several times a year, I assume, right? We would have them once a month, whatever. And my wife would always say, ask them what we should bring. Ask them what we should bring. Ask them what we should bring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't my top of mind thing.
Right.
It never really occurred to me that, but I have learned, like, you got to bring something. So, like, if I go to Joe P's,
I gotta bring. Like, I gotta bring
better
something.
Better not show up empty-handed to the Fox and Gatorade, EB.
Exactly.
Better bring something. You homemade gotta, too, not from Costco.
Bring the Surfside, EB.
It's not my instinct.
That's the go-to.
Well, I
bring that Surfside. No bubbles.
No bubbles. No trouble. No,
no bubbles for Joe P. and Vinny.
Yeah, but girl, like, I'm just gonna say that. I'm sorry. There are differences between men and women. Women know this instinctively. I'm a guy. I don't know this instinctively. It needs to be drilled into my friggin' head that every time I go somewhere,
bring
I really
a bottle
should.
Of wine.
They're just more.
I know,
thoughtful.
But I'm not a wine drinker. But yeah, it's exactly. You got to bring something.
Yeah,
you got to bring something. And I'm 54. I think I learned it about 2 years ago.
Hey, but eventually you learned.
I eventually you learned. I did learn. But like, if I go to Tampa and hang out with my friends, like, I got to bring something.
Right.
I can't just mooch off the house.
Can't just be a freeloader.
You know? Yeah, I got to bring something.
You got to
bring something to the party.
You can't
You have to have an offering.
You have to have something.
You can't just be a taker.
You can't just be a taker. You
can't just be a taker.
And I'm going to be honest. I basically just show up. Right. I basically just show up and expect people.
Okay, speaking of that, what are you bringing to Jersey?
Well, my wife, of course, she does crab dip. She does all
okay,
the stuff.
So you're
she has a
okay.
whole thing.
All right.
So and I just show up and eat everybody's stuff.
Right, he's bringing his hands to grab the remote control.
You're part of the group that is bringing.
Yeah.
You're,
I mean,
you're contributing.
Occasionally, I might, if I think about it, bring booze.
Sure, that works.
You know, because my father.
Yeah, but he's probably only bringing it for himself.
Well, for my father-in-law.
Yeah. Hey, you're at this massive party, okay, with 30 people there, and you're take over control of the TV and you put on the games or whatever.
They defer to me.
Yeah, I know, but
it's really nice.
Are you like annoyed because you're the sports guy and so like they see the Lions playing and they go, hey, well, Jared Goff looks good, or who's the. And they're peppering you with sports
like, who
questions.
Do you prefer, Jameer Gibbs or David Montgomery?
Maybe a little.
They're asking you about all the games, and you can give one F about the games that are going on.
Well, I also don't even really care to talk about my team. Like, I just want to watch. You know what I'm saying? I get your drift.
Yeah, but you're the sports guy.
Yeah, but I must put off such a negative vibe. They don't really bother
they're
me
like,
too much.
We're not going to talk to that Grinch.
Look at that curmudgeon on the couch.
I'm so locked in. One day I am locked in because what else is there to do? Like, right? You just eat, drink,
people
and
that
watch
see, people that see you once a year, you're the sports guy.
Yeah.
So they're trying to find common ground with you.
Well, obviously I do that with you too, I'm sure.
Yeah. And I fake it. I'm good at faking it. But you don't look like you'd be good at faking it.
Not great at it. I had it yesterday at the golf course. We actually played out at Whiskey Creek. So thanks to them. That was nice to have us out. And some listeners came up. And then they started asking me about Jaden Daniels and you know all this stuff. And I'm excited about Jaden. But I don't want to talk about it every 5 seconds.
Was the inner EB going, oh.
No, I faked
of course.
It. I faked enthusiasm. No, I faked enthusiasm.
Did they spot you with the humongous B on your hat at Whiskey Creek?
It's there's Eric Bickle.
Yeah.
No, I actually didn't wear that hat, but no, I don't
and
know.
I'd be fired up to talk about the guy that he sent video of his swing to that never responded back to him.
Well, I'm way more interested in that. Way more interested in that. I was actually
still waiting for the response.
For what?
The guy you sent the video of your swing to.
Now that guy's a scam artist. I have my AI app. My AI app gives me a 10 almost every time. It's nice. That guy's now charging money for
ratings. Oh, he is.
He's monetizing it. Yeah. He wants Venmo. But you know, God bless him. I like the Venmo hustle.
You just tell him, Ven, no.
Yeah. I'm not nothing. Venmoing you any
money. What could you charge people for?
Me? Believe me, I think about it all the time. Yeah. Not much.
Send me your blank and I'll rate it.
Yeah. It's a great idea. Hey, Drabby, we should be working on that. What could we do? Radio.
Send me your podcast and we'll rate it.
Yeah, send me your podcast.
Rate your pod.
Valdez comes up with that plan every like 6 months.
Problem is, EB would never listen to them. It's a lot of work.
Listen for 5 seconds.
That's why he just throws out his Venmo and just says, just send. Yeah.
You know, everyone, if you have a podcast, send it to Eric and then ask for his notes.
Give out your email.
Hey, should mention coming up on the show today, we have the coach of the Capitals, Spencer Carberry. He'll join us at 7 o'clock?
Yeah,
we'll talk to Coach Carberry at 7. Also, Fantasy Wednesday.
I mean, there are three
games make your
tomorrow.
Decisions. Dave Richard from CBS Sports joins us. Playoffs are creeping. So big fantasy football weekend.
I need a playoff push.
And it starts tomorrow.
Need some help.
As always, if you want to get in touch with us throughout the show, you can call us on the MGM National Harbor listener lines at 800-636-1067. Same number for the Thompson Creek Windows text machine. Standard message and data charges may apply. And you can hit us up on X at Junks Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. And Richard, appreciate you listening to us on 910 The Fan or 105.1 FM. We're streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. We've got our colleague check-in coming up at 8:20. We'll talk to Craig Hoffman, host of the Craig Hoffman Show on the Team 980. I put up our Junkies poll of the day. That's presented by Scotty's Vodka. Maryland made, super smooth, love throughout the DMV. Put that on our Instagram page, trying to put more content up there. Give us a follow, Sports Junkies Radio. And the poll is kind of what we were talking about, but we need to really explore the cake's jinx factor. Who deserves the blame? Three choices: Cliff Kingsbury, struggling offense,
yeah.
Austin Seibert, missed field goal, two extra points, or Cakes being a jinx.
Well, I mean, I know where these votes are going to come in.
You can vote.
When did you post?
I just posted it. Sports Junkies Cakes. Radio.
Will you at least acknowledge that you are at least this area's biggest mush?
Mush, I would go with. Jinx, yeah. I mean, if you believe in jinxes, I just feel like
I don't believe in jinxes.
Voodoo,
but,
and like...
I mean, you just have...
It's uncanny.
I can agree that I'm a bit of a mush / cooler.
Yeah,
when it comes
cooler.
To making picks
you're
on the
a,
air.
You're
sure.
a cooler. Yeah,
yeah. I could agree to that.
Valdez put together a montage. Let's listen to it, and then we can open up the phone lines 800-636-1067 because there was a lot of venom towards Cakes, a lot of blaming towards Cakes, hundreds of comments on Facebook, Instagram, and on Twitter, blaming Cakes. Here's Cakes with some of his predictions.
I'm sorry. Jaden Daniels, he physically can't lose to a Cooper Rush-led team. I'll just put that out there right now.
That sounds like your Tommy DeVito.
I'm not going to do a wacky one-sided bet.
Yeah.
But
why don't you book
mark
it,
this Jay? On the tape, Valdez. It's physically impossible for Jaden Daniels to lose to a team led by either Cooper Rush or my guy. It's my guy, Trey Lance. That will not happen. EB, remember.
He's got three touchdowns.
Never forget that I've gone on record saying it's physically impossible, even with a beat-up rib, that Jaden Daniels and company are going to drop a game to the Dallas Cowboys when they need this game at home. Cooper rushed through for 45 yards in the last outing. 45 yards! He was 13 of 23 for 45 yards passing. Yeah. 2 yards per attempt. Never been more confident for the Commanders to beat the Dallas Cowboys than I am for them to beat this iteration that's coming in. If you're scared of Cooper Rush, then you're scared of everything. And trust me, I'm scared of a lot of things. Not scared of Cooper Rush. Not scared of him. Even one scintilla. Not scared. If the Cowboys win,
yeah.
And I don't think it's going
to happen. I don't think it's going
to happen. I may call out Cooper on Monday.
Listen,
you know, I didn't even consider it.
You're brave enough to be here.
There's no brave enough. It's a work day. I'm at work. I mean, that's all there is to it. Never considered, oh my God, I can't handle all the criticism and the calls. I'm going to have to fix being sick. Didn't cross my mind even once.
It's just that this prediction is on the heels of the Alex guarantee.
I know it's
kind of like a progressive jackpot.
Can you
of
play
jinx.
That one?
I've been living in Coolerville for the last week plus. I completely understand.
Yeah.
Now you.
Wish you'd stay out of the business of proclamations.
To be fair, I think he's picked.
Kind of what I do.
He's picked the Commanders. Yeah. You probably picked the Commanders every week this season, except for maybe one.
Yeah, I don't know. Obi never gets injured. Go look at his numbers. Go look at the games played.
Yeah.
But it's not just picking the Commanders I think they're going to win. No. The bravado comes with his stupidity.
I had a lot of swagger about the the Commanders, and I felt like I should have.
You know what it is?
Because the Cowboys, they were an abject disaster limping in here.
It's also
and somehow the Commanders let them beat them.
How much do you blame Cakes? 800-636-1067. It's also your quarterback snobbery, which I generally agree with.
Quarterback
when there's a matchup and it's against a backup quarterback, that's when Cakes really likes to puff his chest.
Yes.
So last year it was Tommy DeVito.
Because generally, your starter, your number two overall pick, should help lead your team over how old is Cooper Rush? A 32-year-old never was. That's what he is. And that's who the Commanders lost to.
I'm with
and
you.
You know what? That is not my fault. That is the Commanders and the coaching staff and everybody that works for the Commanders, whether you wear the uniform or not, that's their problem to deal with.
Right.
Not mine.
I'm just saying
that. If you think I'm a jigs, fine. That's cooler. Whatever.
I'm saying that's when your bravado really comes out.
Yeah, it does.
And you're right. What should happen is what happened to Tommy DeVito yesterday.
Right. Yes. Correct. A number one pick, Baker Mayfield, goes in with a superior team. And
that's not even a good team because they're sub 500.
Completely dominates Tommy DeVito and company.
Right.
That's what should have happened in Landover yesterday. Turns out the offense didn't feel like taking all the gifts. The Cowboys are like, oh, you want the ball? Here. You want the ball in good field position? Here. We'll give it to you. But you're not going to do anything with it. You're just going to squander it. I guess that's my fault. I guess that's my fault, too. That I couldn't help Jaden Daniels and company convert with really good field position throughout.
The thing that irritates...
I can take the blame.
The thing that irritates me the most is I'm not a huge fan of our defense, but honest, and they didn't play great yesterday, and Cooper Rush had a 117 rating and everything, and you know, best numbers of the year by far, best numbers probably in 3 years. They still, the defense only gave up 20 points. Am I right? They only gave
up
20 points.
Hey.
The offense is what's sabotaging the team.
Okay, all you Commanders fans out there, who are you going to blame when Will Levis comes into your stadium next week, when he comes in and gets sacked 10 times, but still leads his team to a win? Not going to have me to blame. Not going to have me to blame for that.
I might not pick Tennessee now. I'm on the fence, but Cake seems like he's picking Tennessee.
Maybe I should just guarantee Tennessee wins.
No. You got to go with your tickle.
I'm going to take a little hiatus from a proclamation business. And let's just see what happens.
But you can't do that.
Let's see what happens.
You can't go on hiatus from predictions and proclamations.
Yo, maybe I'll be blitz 182.
That's in the job description. That's in the job description.
No, I just don't have to. I don't have to make a guarantee that one team will beat the other.
All right.
Even though it's kind of my brand.
Let's go to Scott in Hagerstown. A lot of people actually threatening violence. I don't want to promote it, but let's just go to Scott. Scott, what's up?
Hey, EB, it's good to talk to you. You are now my favorite.
It used to be Cakes?
Yeah, it was. Because, you know, I'm short, and I have a beard. And it is what it is.
Bombs.
Don't curse,
easy,
man.
Easy there, my friend.
Don't curse.
Hey, you know what? This is what I need to toss about these is IJS. It's just sports.
I actually thought about that when I was hitting balls. I didn't even really watch the 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
I had no interest. Right. I was just like, whatever.
It's only three games. I mean, your emotions were toyed with during the first 3 hours.
I'm going to be completely honest with you, and people don't like this. I enjoyed the last 5 minutes because it was at least entertaining.
Right.
It made it a little more palatable for me. I know people don't like that, but that's true. I just kept thinking, though, what do I care? I got beautiful kids, beautiful wife, great, you know, I golf every day. What do I care?
Right.
Why does this bother me?
Right.
It's just sports. All I was thinking about, IJS.
Yep.
IJS.
It's a great brand.
Let's get the beanies ready, Valdez. Yeah.
And what do I care?
I'm upset at you, Eric.
Because?
I feel like you should be taking it up with Cakes more than what you're doing right now.
No.
Like, after the first drive, you're tweeting, this is all.
Cakes.
Yeah, you blame Cakes. Now you're sitting back there feeling sorry for him.
No.
This loser cursed your team.
No. I don't think he's a curse.
Hey, now you're jumping. You're jumping off the top
rope. Well, no one else is jumping off the top rope. He cursed you.
No.
He cursed you. He's 1-3 since wearing the dumb Dan Quinn outfit. He cursed you.
How dare you? That was a good Halloween outfit.
But I do think it's a litmus test. Like, were you sad yesterday or no?
I mean, I was disappointed. I wasn't as, I'll be
you
honest.
You can't baptize him. He doesn't care because he gets Jaden fantasy points for Hail Mary.
He's gaining rushing yards. So
your team got sullied by the curse of Cakes.
I wish you guys
You should be
heard.
Angry.
My son, my oldest son called at the end and his voice just had so much anguish. I mean, he was like,
you didn't feel that.
Like, I mean, I don't think I felt it at his level, but he's like, why did they kick it to Turpin? Right. And I just felt his pain through the phone line.
Right.
But again, Commanders Nation, please blame me. Please pile on. No. I'm the mush. I'm the cooler. Whatever.
Here's the thing. This is what I honestly think, that we should be capitalizing on it again. But I know it's torture for him. He'll have the face for 3 months.
If you guys resurrected alwaysbetagainstcakes.com and just profited, I would just hop on board and profit with you.
He doesn't even understand his own bad aura. Cakes can't hop on and mm-hmm. like it's Cakes.
It's stuff you have to listen to your core.
Yes, you
like,
have to
when
listen.
You're all in.
Yeah,
the instinct is so bad.
Mm-hmm.
He has to be resolute in something. It has to be natural.
Let me just point out, everybody picked the Commanders to win.
Right, but we at least saw scenarios where we could lose. We saw scenarios where we could lose. Every time I picked the Skins, I said, I'm scared about this game. Now, I'm scared about a lot of games, but I can see. But I've been down this road for 30. I see terrible losses.
You should be scared about the Titans game. You seem very nonplussed by the Titans coming up next.
You're not going to like this.
They're the Titans.
They're the Titans. So, okay. I'm picking us.
What?
Listen, you can blame me. I'm picking us. Could we lose? Of course we could lose. We lose all the time.
I know, but
all we've done is lose for 30 years.
But Cakes doesn't set up his picks like that. He's calling it physically impossible.
I know. He goes all in. He goes so hard. But I was more resolute
and had more conviction than everybody else. I was just turned out to be on the wrong side of it.
When did it dawn on you that this was not going to end up in your favor?
In the first half, when Dallas just kept gift-wrapping the ball and doinking picks off the field goal, off the uprights, and Brandon Aubrey, one of the best kickers in the league, just missing field goals left and right, and then the Commanders still either had 0 or 3 points. Yeah. And I said, well, they're not taking advantage of these opportunities, and it's going to bite them on the ass. And of course,
it's physically impossible, even with a beat-up rib.
All right, hold on, let's go.
The Jaden Daniels and company are going to drop a game to the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah. Let's go to Allen in Suitland. Allen, what's up?
All right. I think we need to do a social experiment and have Cakes recuse himself from ever picking the Redskins again, at least this year. Do it like the national guys do when they say, well, I'm calling the game this week, so I can't make a pick.
You know what?
I guarantee you know what? 5-0.
I'm fine with that. You think I care whether I pick the Commanders to win or lose? You think it makes me lose 1 second of sleep? Of course it doesn't. If everybody wants me to sit on the sideline and not make a pick, fine. I don't care. Doesn't bother me one bit.
Get in the face.
Weirdos.
He got it. 8:15.
Bizarros out there.
Yeah. CK, our program director, wants to break the jinx by smashing the Raiders lamp. On the air, he thinks it'll break, like reverse some juju, something you
like
love,
an exorcist.
Yeah,
yeah.
We got to do some sort of jinx exorcism.
It did make me laugh. One of the comments guy said, "I should just go F my Raiders lamp. Stop this game. Just go F my Raiders lamp."
No, there is something to it where we need to figure out how to break it.
You can do whatever you want.
Break the curse?
You can bring in a shaman. You can.
I don't think you can.
You can give me some crystals. It doesn't matter. Yeah. You can bring a priest in here and try to perform an exorcism. I don't care.
You have a black cloud that follows you around everywhere.
Maybe. Listen, maybe that's the case.
I don't want to make it about me again.
Yes, you do.
Just go ahead. It's fine.
You notice when I picked the games, I was a little bit off, like before the season started. Like, I think maybe I had him 6-3 or whatever. but I had a second half swoon. You guys mocked me. You're like, oh my God. You
have why do you always say we mocked you?
You did. Go to the tape. You're like, you have them 6-3, but then you have a swoon. I literally called this. I called the swoon. I live this every year. This always happens.
Usually they don't get out to a 7-2 start. In fact.
But I had a very good start and a swoon.
It was the first time since since 98.
I honestly think my instincts are the direct opposite of Cake's.
Hey, I got to get out the back patting machine for Bickle.
Thank you.
I went back this morning to listen to some audio from May of 2015 when the NFL moved the extra point back.
Oh, is this going the
wrong way? No. Bickle said he hated it and it was stupid because there's going to come a point in time where you're going to lose a game by a point because something that everybody thought was a gimme now has been moved back to 33 yards. Yes, JP was like, this is a non-factor.
No.
We should never even talk about this.
It infuriated
me. Lurch was like 94% from 33 yards out. JP goes, I go to the bathroom during 33-yard field goals.
Right.
And Bickle goes, we're going to lose a game because of this dumb extra point.
That's going to happen, but
they just took chance. Minority. They just added more chance to the outcomes of games.
Kickers were bad yesterday overall in the league.
Right. Yeah, well, you knew that was right, though, right? Did you think I was wrong?
Well, I think most people just kind of forgotten that those things used to be gimmies.
Yeah.
Well, that's why they moved it back. Fairbairn missed a game winner that was a chippy, and there were multiple block field goals. It was a bad day for kickers overall in the league.
One. And Cakes.
I don't know. I see JP's going back and forth with Cody. What did Cody used to do here? Was he a producer? Was he an intern? What was he?
He was a Grant and Danny producer.
Okay, he was a Grant and Danny producer. I mean, I know Cody.
No, he was B. Mitch and Finley.
B. Mitch and Finley.
Sorry. Yeah, right.
Producer. Okay. I mean, I know Cootie, but Cody, whatever his name is.
I'm sure he's going to attack me now,
but I mean, I know him. I didn't know what he did.
All right, what about him?
Okay, he's going back and forth with JP about some AI-generated stat from Google, maybe it's true or not, that two-point conversions are only converting at a 31% rate. Is that true? I thought the general notion was 50%.
But I think he
is that proven to be incorrect?
I don't know about this year, but he did make a good point in that tweet that you just went 90 yards down the field and you're setting up to get a two-point conversion after everyone's exhausted from sprinting down the field. You're not going to have your best play right
now. I just think it's just why throw a game to what I thought was a 50-50 proposition. If it's a 30-70 proposition, you guys still want to do that?
No, you got to kick the extra
point. Yeah, I'm an extra point
guy. Kick the extra point and beat those bums like you should have for the first four quarters. I said this earlier in the show, if you're just tuning in, when we finally scored, I was like, oh, good. Now all is right in the world. Everything's organized again, and we'll beat their asses in overtime. I never for even one iota considered going for two.
Here's when you go for it. A couple years ago when Ron didn't go for it in Philly, when you were a big underdog, he went for one
instead
of two. That's
different.
That's when you go for it.
Right. That's the distinction that I'm making.
Right.
Like, we're the dominant team.
If they went for two and didn't get it yesterday, they would be roasting Quinn, saying, you idiot, we were the better team.
Yes.
We had finally
you
got our mojo back.
If you're going against like an undefeated team or some juggernaut, they're the freaking hapless Cowboys. And we think we have to have some gimmick two-pointer to beat them? F off. We're going to kick the extra point, and then we're going to kick your ass in overtime.
I see between.
That's how I thought of it.
I see the answer as being between, and this is not specific. It says the success rate of a two-point conversion in the NFL is estimated to be between 40 and 55%.
Who's
across the 2018 and 2019 NFL seasons, teams converted two-point conversion attempts 49.4% of the time.
I need a larger body of work. Give me a five-year run. Go to StatMuse or one of these. You have Canva. Go to something. Grok. Go to some AI thing.
I've never used Grok once in my life. I don't know which is worse, Grok or Gronk.
Every time I see Grok, I think Gronk. I don't even know what it is.
But there are other factors. Yes, that's a factor that you were running, but the defense also was running down the field. I feel like you got the momentum. You also have Jaden Daniels. So what's the success rate of Jaden Daniels on fourth downs and two-point conversions? I think it's very high.
Well, our third down conversion has been pitiful.
And you just converted it. I don't know.
I mean, you don't think that they were aware that if they do a two-point conversion, they're probably going to run Jaden out wide and do something?
I think they were on their heels. They couldn't believe what had just happened to them.
Hey, I'm just glad this conversation shifted away from me.
They still were on their heels.
No, Cakes, don't think I didn't forget. I'm an elephant over here.
I just hit
more ways than one. But don't think
what Valdez?
No, I mean, just Cakes is getting off scot-free. That's all. I'm noticing this.
Coming up next, it's time for our run out. Colleague check-in. We'll talk to Craig Hoffman, host of the Craig Hoffman Show on the Team 980 on a Misery Monday, brought to you by Chenega Miles, a 2024 top workplace. Visit careerswithmios.com.
So the Hayfield High School football drama takes another turn. There have been some explosive text messages obtained from the athletic director at Hayfield High School, whose name is Monty Fritz.
I think
the school is withdrawn from the playoffs. They're out.
Well, because I think the problem for the crowd that wanted them to be kicked out of the league and suspended, whatever term you want to say, they didn't have the smoking gun.
Right.
This is kind of a smoking gun. You can go through it.
Yeah, so this is from the Fairfax County Times. The headline, explosive texts indicate athletic director involved in Hayfield recruiting scheme exploiting federal homeless loopholes. So these are texts from Monty Fritz, who's the AD and director of student activities at Hayfield High School. One of his texts is, and this is him going back and forth with another local high school coach. Fritz in one of the texts says, my principal really wants Overton. The coach that came over from Liberty High School.
Freedom, I believe.
Freedom, okay. Freedom, I think that's correct, in Woodbridge.
Mm-hmm. Who had won two state championships at Freedom.
Right. He said, my principal really wants Overton. Told Coach Daryl Overton might not be able to, quote, get away with transfers at FCPS. Fritz's response, quote, there would need to be some change, but if they are homeless, nothing can happen. Then the coach responds, true, just better actually be homeless. Fritz responded with three laughing emojis.
Mm-hmm. And we had heard last week when we took a bunch of calls, and if you want to chime in, 800-636-1067, that was a loophole that they thought was being used.
Yeah. And Fritz, some of his other texts, he says, quote, people would go bananas if we brought him. Also, quote, I like to win and make money.
Let me say
this. Also, rumor is we getting about 10 new starters.
Right. If you used a loophole where he was like with an aunt or something, I actually have no problem with that. But the homeless loophole, I got a problem with that. Unless the kid's living in a tent, which we know he's not.
But I'll say this.
I got
it's
a problem
with the
dissimilar
homeless. It's not that dissimilar than the aunt, though. If a person is using an aunt's address.
Well, I would hope that he's actually there.
But they don't live there.
I would
it's
hope
not that different
there.
Than well, what if using the homeless loophole.
Fair. But what if they're using the aunt and they actually stay there a couple days a week as a loophole? Like, literally a loophole. Like, yeah, I'm going
to
go
me,
there Monday through Friday and weekends
kind of
with my
acceptable.
Parents or
that's,
whatever.
It's more acceptable than using, well, these kids are homeless when they're actually
The homeless, there's no excuse
it's
for that.
It's actually despicable.
That actually would be hilarious, though, if they just had, like, a group tent and they just had guys just, like, camping and they're, like, Survivor during football season. Like, fine.
I mean, that's really trying to win at all costs.
What I say if you're doing is... that. Just move to private school. All these coaches, just go to private school. You don't have to deal with this stuff. This is normal.
Yeah,
recruiting is rampant.
I'm sure
private school.
We've all come into contact with high school athletic directors.
Yeah,
during
one
our day.
One of my best friends.
It is one of the most thankless jobs ever.
Yeah,
like
it's a nightmare.
You're working your balls off. You're trying to raise money all the time. You're trying to get people to come out and support.
Think about all the parents you have to
programs.
Please.
Oh, yeah, parents.
All the coaches you
gotta,
have to please.
You got to beg parents to work in the concession stands during games. I mean, it's not a fun job.
All right, aside from that, but in this, these are the rules. And everyone, all the adults at Hayfield should be embarrassed and fired, including Dr. Reed, the Fairfax County superintendent, who knew about these text messages a week ago. Like, this whole thing, it goes against everything that high school sports, especially in the public school system, believes in.
Yeah, it's supposed to have a level playing field.
And I feel horrible for the kids that didn't get to go to the playoffs. Whatever, I feel bad for the kids on Hayfield now.
Yeah. Well, what happens to the Edison to kids?
Kids got steamrolled, 75-7 or 77?
They should somehow reorganize the playoffs or something.
Yeah, do they get back in the playoffs?
They should let them back
in. They should give them a pass.
Give them
a pass,
like a bye.
You guys played in a legal team, a team that's just a bunch of fraudsters.
Although losing 75-6, that's so bad. I don't know if I put you back in the playoffs.
I mean, when you lose to an all-star team.
Yeah, if they're like, playing the Under Armour All-American team.
Well, they're playing the Pro Bowl.
If you're getting an all-star team rolling into your place, you just have a normal high school team. It's like you're going to get your ass beat. It's generally the way it works.
So I believe Fairfax will get a bye and move on to the next round. Because they were
supposed doesn't
to
help Edison.
Play Hayfield.
Yeah.
Listen, everything you say is right. I'm just saying, just why deal with this in the public school? That's what I'm saying. But yeah, you're right. All these kids that are getting screwed out of it, the innocent kids.
Everybody wants to win. Everybody's going to look for an advantage.
Just think about if you're a senior on the Edison High School team. And you're like, oh, you're looking forward to the playoffs. And this team that was put together, you know, by, you know, people who are a win-at-all-cost mentality, bringing in players that didn't deserve to be on the team, didn't live in the district. I mean, it's outrageous.
It's only gotten bigger. Look, when I was in high school, I played on a really good soccer team. Bowie had a nationally ranked soccer team.
Mm-hmm.
We had a guy who I grew up with, played on my club soccer team, who lived in the Bowie region, but he had a dad who owned a house in the Roosevelt region where Cakes and I mm-hmm. went. And they used that address, and he went to our school for a couple weeks. The Bowie parents found out, freaked out, and he ended up going to Bowie. This has been going on for years and years. It's just the level
I know, but that JP, happened not here at Hayfield. Not everyone's looking to cheat, though. We should say that.
You said everyone's looking for an edge. Everyone's looking to do this. That's not true. There's a lot of coaches out there that play by the rules and play fair. And
the private schools, everyone's recruiting.
It's right. True.
Yeah, but that's allowed in schools.
That's legal.
Yeah.
We're talking two different things here.
Yeah.
It's not in the public schools. And there are a lot of coaches out there that believe in sportsmanship and doing the right thing.
Right.
And this is garbage. This was flat out garbage by Hayfield.
Right, it's shenanigans, and they deserve to be punished. A lot of people deserve to lose their jobs. I mean, it's a big scandal.
Yeah. I want EB's back padding machine.
All right.
Why? Because, I'm not going to relinquish it quickly.
Because I was the whistleblower. I came on air. I had someone text me about the homelessness and the loophole that they were exploiting.
Homeless? Yeah.
I mentioned that on air. Boom, week later.
Homeless. All right, you get it.
Valdez talks, people listen. I like it.
We still had to find the texts.
Sure, but you know what, Valdez? You lit the fuse.
I did.
You lit that fuse, my friend.
I want the back padding machine. I was the whistleblower.
You exposed the homeless loophole.
I was deep throat.
Sometimes whistleblowers, they get roughed up or killed. So you might want to keep your head on a swivel over there.
Will Overton, the coach mm-hmm. who moved from Freedom to Hayfield, find a job easily?
Say again. The coach that cheated?
The coach,
I don't think you'll find a job easily
in a private school.
Because he's had a lot of success.
Yeah, most likely private in the private sector.
He's got all these
private
guys school. Who are going to Division I scholarships.
I don't even know why he's bothering with the public school. I understand that the kids, like, you know, your family circumstances, not everybody go to private school. I get it. But the coaches that are encouraging all this, what are you doing?
Just probably making more money.
You know who he
they
should
gave
coach?
Him a security
here's the,
job.
Here's the perfect team for that guy to coach. What was the name of that like fictitious high school team that got made up?
Bishop Sycamore.
Bishop Sycamore.
Right.
He should be the next head coach at Bishop Sycamore. That's where he should go. He could just play players from anywhere.
I'm guessing he made the move because of finances, because he moved over there. His brother moved over there. His brother got like a teaching assistant job.
No,
he
I'm
got
sure.
a security
they do,
job.
They do that stuff in the private school too. They create jobs.
Sometimes
for you.
It might not be as much.
Yeah. I just don't know. Okay.
I mean,
could be true. You could be
usually
right.
People change jobs for money. Yeah. That's usually the most.
You keep saying he should just work in the private sector. Well, there must be a reason why he hasn't tried or isn't hired.
Or maybe well, he knows it's easier to coach at a public school and recruit a few kids. Then, like at the private school, they would be on equal footing. Because everybody's recruiting.
Well, he came from private and won back-to-back championships.
Is that where he came from? Yeah.
Yeah. He had won back-to-back state championships at Freedom.
There's no doubt
that's
they're all underpaid.
That's not private.
I thought it was a private.
No, that's public. No. He came from Freedom. I know that's
public. A lot
of
allegations of what was going on at Freedom, too. But
oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a terrible situation. I'm glad. It's somewhat justice. It happened too late, though. That's the problem with all these injunctions and court things. You can always find, you could court shop, judge shop. You know, this is a classic example of it.
But finally, they made the right call, I guess. Let's go to Justin in Arlington. Justin, what's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing? I'm a longtime fan. Been listening to you guys for decades.
Thanks.
But listen, so the transfer rule for VHSL, like, you can't just move in with an aunt. You have to be – it has to be a move with your parents or a legal guardian. So there's got to be, like, court paperwork.
Fair.
That says you can move in with them. So
okay.
You can't say, oh, it's okay if they're just moving in with an aunt. That doesn't fly.
Understood. What I was I guess I was just saying just sort of if you were finding a loophole. And I guess the loophole they were finding was the homeless thing. But that's just beyond the pale. You know, because that's fake homelessness.
Agreed.
Yeah, yeah.
It's almost like they got greedy. You know what I mean? Like, if there was one kid and they were faking a homelessness, you could probably get away with it and skirt it. But if you have 10 players and you're using this, if you're using the same loophole, that's you're getting greedy. You're almost wanting to get caught.
Well, that was the biggest.
Or thumbing your nose at the rule.
That was the biggest thing about this case overall is when you look at kind of the progression of things that happened in the summer. They never could really prove that the addresses were fake, but logic was you're not going to have 18 guys move into the same neighborhood.
Yeah, it's
with 18 families moving into the same neighborhood.
Right.
It defied common sense.
Yeah, obviously they were doing something. I was wondering if they were working within the rules, and I think.
No, it seems
claiming homeless and not being homeless is not even close to working within the rules. I mean, no. It's just blatant cheating.
Hey, props to the Fairfax County Times, by the way. It's obviously a small little tiny newspaper.
This has been their little home run.
Dude, they've killed the story from the very beginning. They're breaking all the news about it. You have everyone else, all the TV stations, Washington Post, national people covering it, and they're breaking all the news. That's big time
for
a small paper.
Good for them. Mm-hmm. Get a lot of ADs getting the shine.
Listen, this stuff happens, even in the private school, what happens in the private schools is they'll use, like, ineligible kids that are, like, sixth-year kids, you know what I mean? Or, like, kids that have...
They're 20-year-old high school students.
You know, they transferred 19 times, and, you know, they come in... So, I mean, there's issues everywhere, not to say that there's not issues in private school.
Hey, Thanksgiving's coming up. You know what's great for Thanksgiving? Obviously, food, family.
Turkey, last time I checked.
Football. How about Surfside? Surfside iced tea and vodka, Surfside lemonade and vodka. I know I'm going up to New Jersey to visit my brother. He's already got the Surfside on ice. They're absolutely delicious, perfect for any Friendsgiving or family gathering, available in convenient variety. 8-packs, each can of Surfside, only 100 calories. And the best part, no bubbles, no troubles, zero carbonation, so you can sip, relax, and cheer on your team all day long. Just ask for Surfside iced tea and vodka at your local bars and liquor stores. You must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
Football-wise, I'm miserable. Sure. Life-wise, I'm great.
But it is a Misery Monday sponsored thing. Of course, brought to you by Chenega Miles, the 2024 top workplace. Visit careerswithmios.com. We'll be talking about the Commanders' loss to the Dallas Cowboys from all angles. And I don't even know where to start. What a crazy finish it was. Because with roughly 3 minutes to go in the game, it's still 20-9.
Yeah.
The Commanders had 9 points through 56 minutes of the game. Now, in the last 4 minutes, they scored 17, and there were so many twists and turns, and I can't imagine the emotions of a true Commanders fan at the end.
I've never experienced that kind of...
The highs and lows.
Highs and lows, and that quick of a period.
Sure.
I mean, we've all experienced highs and lows, right? I mean, I go back to when Duke scored 10 against us, against the Terps in a minute, you know, whenever that was. You know, 15 years ago, whatever. But that was devastating. And the thing is, you could see it coming. Because you saw Seibert had been struggling. Probably came back too early from injury. That's what I'm guessing. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, if he wasn't 100%, why not stick with the Gonzalez for another week? I mean, it's a lot of second guessing now.
I mean, I don't know. I'm sure he demonstrated he could kick the 51-yarder, you know. But something wasn't right. Obviously, it wasn't a perfect snap. I mean, you know. I don't know. I've never experienced that. Like, because when McLaurin makes that play and just blows by everybody to get in the end zone.
You weren't thinking go for two? You're usually conservative.
I never for a half second. Never ever did
go for two. I never thought about going for two.
And we'll talk about it later and take calls.
At home, I think even the general rule is at home you go for one.
You've got them on your heels. You're about to eat. I mean, you had no business being in that spot.
Because if he goes for it and he flubs it and they don't convert, he's going to get second guessed from now until the end of time for that decision.
But with Jaden Daniels, a 2-point conversion.
Now, I understand
I never thought about it for one second.
It's a good play for his skill set. And if you're
they converted one earlier.
If you're a massive underdog and you're on the road against a way better team and you don't want to go to overtime and get exposed even further, go for it. Go for two. But at home, you kick that extra point and you go to overtime.
I'm always a go for two guy. But they were fortunate to be in that position. 20-9, this is probably the emotion, TB, I would imagine. 20-9, you feel defeated. You're like, ugh. Kind of that same old skin.
From the second quarter on.
Especially because the offense, for the most part, was lifeless. Besides Jaden Daniels, they couldn't run the football. Mm-hmm. The explosive offense.
Cliff lost his bag.
Yeah.
He's just handing off on first and second down all the time. We were in third and longers.
Oh, so many third and longs in that game.
It was
maddening.
He put Jaden in a really, really tough spot. Jaden was getting pressured all over the place. He missed some throws, too, where he wasn't pressured. But I hated the offense.
Yes. We're going to talk about Cliff Kingsbury's offense again from all angles later in the show. But that's the majority of the game. I mean, you have 3 points at the half.
No, the game was dreadful.
You have 9 points at the end of three quarters. Like I said, 56 minutes in, you're still on 9 points. But then the emotions of scoring, Jaden 7-for-7 on that drive. Now, maybe you can say, well, Dallas is in a different type of defense.
They're definitely backing off, no doubt.
They're backing off, but he still completes 7-of-7, hits Ertz for the touchdown pass. They convert the 2-point conversion. Now you have a glimmer of hope. You're down a field goal, and then you have the kickoff return.
Turpin runs right up. I almost hate to say this.
I mentioned Turpin's speed last week. You know what? I'm going to borrow the pack batting machine. Even though I predicted a win, and I thought we should win, I was scared of this game, and I was scared of like three guys. Micah Parsons, who was a huge player in the game, obviously. Everyone knows. You're not stupid. He's a great player. CeeDee Lamb, who maybe didn't have a massive impact, but he had a bunch of catches, kept their offense going. And then I mentioned this guy. I didn't even know who that guy was 3 weeks ago. That guy's speed is insane.
Yeah.
Insane.
Yeah, he caught the slant the week before.
That's where I noticed
the Commanders' defense. They made Cooper Rush actually look good because
they could get no pressure.
They couldn't pressure him throughout the game. I tweeted, as bad as the offense was, the defense was actually more culpable, and I got attacked for that. I got attacked for a billion things yesterday, obviously. But if you don't pressure Cooper Rush, of course he can hit layups like he did to Schoonmaker. Now, the touchdown pass to Tolbert was nice. I'll give him credit on that. But he is a
journeyman backup
quarterback that should never be able to carve you up, and that's exactly what he did to that defense.
Well, I said before the game, if we lost, it would be an absolute devastating, humiliating loss. And that, at the end of the day, that's what it is.
Well, it is. You lose to a team that lost 5 in a row, that had been given up 35 points per game, that had the second worst rushing defense in the league. Now, statistically, the Commanders ran for 145 yards, which isn't bad. And I know that Jaden is a big part of the running game. He had 7 carries for 71 yards.
They tried to force the run that wasn't there.
But the non-Jaden rushes
were terrible.
Was 18 runs for 71 yards.
Exactly. They kept forcing it. I was livid. Livid. They kept trying to force something that wasn't there. And I think at the end of the day, this comes down to we're just a little bit under-talented. I mean, but we just still aren't talented enough.
What I wanted to say is, so Turpin gets that kickoff return. Now you're defeated again as a fan, right? It's 27-17.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Washington gets the ball back, moves the ball down the field, settles for the 51-yard field goal, 7-point game, 27-20. You're thinking long shot because you're going to have to use your timeouts. Mm-hmm. You're going to get the ball back with very little time, but it plays out that way that they get the ball back.
I'll give Quinn credit. I don't think he had a great day. The way they managed the clock there, perfect. They literally managed it to perfection in that instance.
They get the ball back.
Is that even that hard to, like, he's been coaching forever.
No,
like,
we can do that from home.
I should be able to do that.
No. I didn't know necessarily that you would kick that field goal right at that moment. I hadn't done the math. I'm not a statistician.
Right.
I didn't know to kick it at that point.
Well, he also, I'm sure, has somebody in his ears.
Of course.
Kick the field goal.
You got to kick it
DQ,
now.
Yeah.
You got to kick it now. Yeah. But I thought Greg Olsen was off. Yeah. Again, he kind of annoys me because he just assumed, and they did do an onside kick.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't even know why we do those in the NFL anymore. They're dumb. Everyone knows that you have to telegraph it. You have to tell them, oh, we're going to kick it onside. I'm sure that's going to work.
Yeah, but it worked in the Bears game.
Okay.
Yeah, but it works like less than 10%.
Well, that's how it's always been.
Yeah, I'd rather just kick it and hold, you know, get them back at the 25 or whatever.
But although sometimes
we can't
kick it
out of
the
end zone. That's a problem, which again, I called. We got to kick the ball out of the end zone.
Anyway, you kick the field goal, 7-point game. You do what you need to do. You get the ball back, but you're in a position where if you get tackled on the field, mm-hmm. game's over.
Sure.
And they get the miraculous pass to Terry McLaurin where he's untouched.
Lightning strikes, and you're like, oh, they're going to tie the freaking game.
I thought it was a
fantasy. By the way, that's why I go for the jugular. Go for the jugular right there. End the game.
You steal it.
Never, honestly, JP, until this morning. So you saying that, it's the first time I've heard someone actually suggest we go for two.
I'm generally a go for two guy.
Why would I want to turn it into a 50-50 proposition? I would rather just play good defense or win the coin toss and go down there and win.
I like to put it in my team's power to win the game. I don't think it's in control because you lose the I know the overtime rules are different, but
just gotta make a stop.
I hate the overtime rules.
Well, I hate just
going
for two.
They're better than before, but they're still not great.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to open up the phone lines, 800-636-1067. So many things to talk about in this game. Commanders fall to 7-5. That is three losses in a row. This narrative about Cliff Kingsbury's offense, can't escape it. You can't escape it. The second half for Cliff Kingsbury is bad. And then I heard something this morning that was interesting. Dan Quinn's first year in Atlanta. Do you know what they started, EB?
No.
5-0. Do you know how they finished?
Who are we talking about?
Dan Quinn.
Yeah.
When he coached in Atlanta his first season, they started off 5-0. A lot of the things that people were saying about Dan Quinn.
6-12. I have no idea.
Finished the season going 3-8 in their last 11, finished 8-8. Now, second season, they made the Super Bowl.
Right.
But his first year in Atlanta, they started off super hot, 5-0. And then the league caught up to him with Cliff Kingsbury's offense. I mean, that offense, it's gone. That explosive offense is gone.
I didn't want to give that fire any more oxygen about Cliff Kingsbury's offense.
I neither.
Like falling apart in the second half, but apparently it's a real thing. I don't know if it's just teams catching up to him, critical injuries. But it seems
they're not
like
really that injured.
Well,
compared to most teams in the league, they don't have that many injuries.
Well, we are now. Well, we're going to lose our two starting running backs.
Key offensive line injuries, running back injuries. Like they're starting to add up.
May not have affected this game. I mean, B-Rob missed the second half, right? Didn't come back for the second half.
Yeah, he was beat up. I didn't think he was going to come back for the initial.
The Cowboys came into that game without their
two starting guards, without
Brandon Cooks.
The defense should
not an excuse.
The Commanders' defense should have been much better in this game.
Yeah.
Like, they're getting a pass because the offense was kind of inept, too, until they caught fire.
Dallas was brutal. They were awful. We were worse.
Dallas tried to give it to them. Their first three drives, they're inside the 30. They have a field goal that's blocked. They have another field goal that
it was
Aubrey seemed automatic.
Errors.
Dallas was awful.
They had a
early
punt that was blocked.
If the Commanders' defense could have done any offense had done anything in the first half, it would have been a runaway victory.
Yes,
they couldn't get out of their own way.
It was brutal.
They were in third and long forever.
Yes, and they kept trying to give it to us. They kept trying to give us the game. And the fact that it was 3-3 at halftime was humiliating. Humiliating.
And then it hits it over by a lot.
And I'll tell you, the other reason why I think it never even occurred to me to kick that, to go for two at the end when after the McLaurin score, is because here's what I actually thought in my brain, but I guess because I'm stupid. I thought, okay, now reality could set in and we could beat the terrible Cowboys. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If we were playing like a Super Bowl champion, a team that it's like a miracle to beat them, go for it. We should be. We didn't. We aren't, obviously. We should be the superior team. So I thought, okay, the world is back in order. Now we'll just beat them the old-fashioned way. We'll kick the extra point.
Yeah.
We'll beat their asses in overtime. It never occurred to me for a second that I needed a gimmick two-point play to beat that horrible team. They suck.
I don't need a gimmick. I just give it to.
Here's what
I give it to Jaden on the edges, and say we're gonna win this game right now. That team is emotionally on their heels. They just gave up basically a Hail Mary play.
The old-fashioned beat down in overtime.
This is what I learned yesterday. There are no soft spots. We can't just chalk up wins against the Cowboys or the Titans, by the way, who beat a division rival yesterday, and their defense is fearsome.
Well, I'm dumb because I'm picking us, I'm not confident.
Will Levis will give you the ball. He'll throw the ball to you, and he'll get sacked a billion times, but that defense is almost impossible to run the ball on. So good luck to the Commanders next week. That is another tough out.
All right, we'll come
back on double secret probation.
We'll come back, take your calls. Your reaction to the Commanders falling to the Cowboys 34-26 and your biggest takeaways. 800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines. You can also text the fan on the Thompson Creek Windows text machine. Standard message and data charges may apply. You can hit us up on X at Junks Radio. We've got John Keim, covers the Commanders for ESPN.com. Join us at 7. Our colleague check-in with Craig Hoffman at 8:20. But it is a Misery Monday, brought to you by Chenega Miles, 2024 Top Workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com. Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Johnny Cake Sawville and Eric Bickle. A little bit later in the show, we'll do a little fantasy football with Dave Richard, CBS Sports fantasy guru. He'll jump on at 8. Joining us right now, head coach of the Washington Capitals, Spencer Carberry. He's brought to you by Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. More physicians, more locations, care centered around one thing. You visit CFAOrtho.com. Good morning, coach.
Morning, guys.
Hey, Coach. Good morning. Really good vibes in Florida right now with the win over the Panthers. You guys are in the middle of the mentors trip. I'm not sure if you know this, but did the Caps come up with the mentor trip concept? I know they've been doing it for several years now, and I know other teams around the league are doing it. I know the Caps also do a mom's trip. I think it's coming up later in the season. And who did you bring along on the Florida-Tampa Bay double dip before Thanksgiving, if anybody?
I brought my dad again this year, second year in a row. And I don't know the answer to your question. I don't know who started it, if it was the Caps or, but there's been a bunch, like you said, a bunch of different spins on it now. There's been sibling trips. We call ours sort of a mentor's trip, so you can bring any mentor in your life and anybody that's important to you. So there's been moms. Yeah, like you said, I think the other night in our building, New Jersey, actually, they had their mom's trip when they played us in at Cap One.
So I got to ask you, as a coach, I mean, you might be torn on it, right? Because it's it's incredible, the experience, especially for the dads and everything. But you need these guys to lock in. You don't have time for all this bonding right? I'm just thinking about it.
It goes both ways. Like, you do sense a bit of a added lift from the group trying to impress their moms or dads and want to perform well.
Right.
So that's a real thing. Then you're right, though. There's a lot of, like,
we got to lock in
things. Yeah. There's a lot of extra things going on, but it's a really positive experience, especially through 82 games, long season. Anytime they do it, it's usually ends up being positive, win or lose. It's something that breaks up the season but gives them really something to look forward to.
Right. So, Coach Carbs, look at the Florida native Jacob Chychrun, Chicky, getting it done for you guys against the Panthers. He scores a goal. He adds 2 assists in the game. I didn't realize how deep his NHL bloodlines were. His dad, who I'm pretty sure is on the trip with you guys, he played 8 seasons in the NHL, and he's also the nephew of the current Chicago Blackhawks head coach Luke Richardson. I mean, the guy's super connected, and it's also nice. He's also one of the top goal-scoring defensemen in the NHL right now for you guys.
Yeah. Yeah, he's played really well. It was good to see him. Him and Brandon Duhaime grew up in Florida playing, which is pretty unique to have two players on an NHL team that played youth hockey in Florida. So that was great for them to be able to put and Chickie's dad was there, obviously, but his mom was also there too because they lived down in that area. So it was nice to see him, and we played really well in Florida against the defending Stanley Cup champions with all the mentors there. Was a good night.
And it's also cool to see that Ovi is there on the trip despite being injured. He's still participating. I saw him in the locker room last night. And I also picked up on your guys' new post-game win celly with the gold, the cartoon-sized gold chain that Ovi's son, he didn't really want to part with it and give it to Chickie, but he did. He eventually handed it over. So I guess now that's part of the post-game celebration, the big gold chain.
Yeah, I'm still learning about the big gold chain and the significance of it. And I was asking O about it. But it was nice, for him to be able to come down with his father-in-law and still be on the trip and be around the guys. And like I was saying before, it's always nice to be able to get integrated. And then you learn so much. Like, I spent some time last night with, probably eight or nine of our players, dads and mentors, and so you get to know about their upbringing and some things that they've gone through in their life. So it has been a great experience so far.
I'm guessing you're younger than most of the dads, right?
Oh yeah.
I hope Ted is Ted gonna balk when he sees like the hotel bar bills for this trip? I'm guessing those there's some fun nights for the dads on these trips. I'm guessing.
Yeah, they do it's first class. The Caps do an amazing job and looking after the mentors and having different events and different things. And that's they do a really good job too of like when we're in business mode, meaning like okay, we got a pregame nap, keep the routine the same as it normally is. What they do is they schedule something for the mentors, like usually away from the hotel, so the players can just lock in and get ready for the game and mm-hmm. get on the bus and get over to the game at 5 o'clock. And the mentors are usually having some fun at some different location.
Talking to Spencer Carberry, head coach of the Washington Capitals, off to a 14-6-1 start. So last week we had you on to speculate about Ovi and you mm-hmm. kind of laughed off what was going on. We've since learned that he's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. What has been the difference on ice? You lost the first couple games, but you bounced back to win the third. What's been the difference without him?
I think we're starting to get adjusted to it. I think the first couple games, a little bit of a void. I would probably say the biggest thing is we're still trying to find forward line combinations that can get going a little bit with some chemistry. So our 5-on-5 scoring has really dipped over the last few games. Now, it doesn't mean the process wasn't good. Like, we created some really good chances against Florida. We just couldn't finish. So the finishing has dried up a little bit. But we're trying to, with him being out in that line of Stromer, Protoss, and Ovi was so good for us early on. We're just trying to find that mix of what has a little bit of chemistry and what that looks like. And then the Dubois line and obviously Eller's line and Dowd.
Yeah, our guy Lars scored a couple of goals for you, including the empty netter. What has he meant to the lineup now that you have him back?
Yeah, he's been huge because it's sort of stabilized that third line. We've moved LaPierre to the wing, and he's had a couple of his best performances of the year, so that's helped him a lot. And being able to kind of stabilize that with Lars and Mangiapane has started to play real well alongside him. So that's been a huge added benefit for us, especially as we're, hit a little bit, like I said, a lull in some 5-on-5 scoring. They scored a huge goal, the first goal in the game to get that game tied 1-1 in Florida was a big goal from the third line. So they've been contributing
lately with Lars, which is great.
Yeah, and another boost that Lars gives you, and you know this already, obviously, is what he does in the faceoff dot. He was 7-5 in that Panthers game, and I remember that was just one of his calling cards before he got dealt to Colorado. He was always a good faceoff guy that you could rely on.
Big time, and Nick Dowd is our right shot guy, so he usually takes all the right shot or right dot draws that are significant, and now to have a left guy. Like, Stromer's been real strong this year as well. It just gives us more of a defensive-minded. Lars can take that left shot, left dot face-off, which, he's you know, well over 50% this year, which is an added bonus for the group and brings an element that's important.
Coach Carbs, your penalty kill is tied for third best in the NHL right now at 85.5%. I'm just going to round it up to 86 because that's what I wanted my teachers to do back in the day. The Panthers were 0-4 on Monday night. What's the secret sauce for that unit? Also, you guys are first ranked in the league in penalty kill on the road away from your building.
And it was, I'll tell you this, like last game, there were some huge moments of penalty kills where the game, they were up 1-0, had a power play. Game was 1-1, they had a power play. So the timeliness of some of our penalty kills, especially last game, have been huge. And in the right moment when we really need a big penalty kill, they've stepped up and done a really nice job. Now, I will say we went on a great stretch where we were taking – we were shorthanded maybe twice a game for four or five games in a row, it felt like. So anytime you're not stressing your penalty kill guys and you can stay out of the box and you're killing 2-3 a game is huge. And we've gotten away from that a little bit of late. I'd like to get back to, you know, being a little bit more disciplined so that we can not have to rely as heavily on our penalty kill to answer the bell four or five times in a game.
Hey, Coach, quick non-Caps thing. You were in Toronto for, I believe it was two seasons. You can correct me if I'm wrong there.
No, you're right.
Two, okay. So you coached William Nylander there. It was pretty cool to see him joined by his younger brother, Alex, on the Leafs for their first game together a couple nights ago. I've got no time or bandwidth for more Jim and John Harbaugh hype. I'm over that. But when hockey brothers, like, play together, you can sign me up for that all day long. It's a pretty cool story. And obviously, you know, the bloodlines from Michael Nylander, their dad, who played here like in the early 2000s. I mean, he's got some really good hockey playing sons. And I believe one of his daughters is like a stud tennis player too.
Yeah. So got to know the family decently well in Toronto and met them a few times his dad. And we were telling stories, but he played, Will played it for Team Maryland in his time in D.C. and it's a pretty cool. And you know what? I can tie it into the Capitals, because what we did the other day, which was really unique, we have four dads on the trip that have multiple sons playing in the National Hockey League.
Oh, that's cool. That's awesome.
Like, that's pretty cool. When our video coach Brett Leonhardt said that, I was like, wow, we have four. So we kind of honored, you know, you have two kids that are playing in the NHL at the highest level in the world. Anytime siblings, family stuff, it's pretty impressive.
Hey, Coach, give us the quick scout on the Lightning, your opponent tonight in Tampa. They just throttled the Avs 8-2. That's a team you've tangled with recently. And Brandon Hagel tied an NHL record. He had four assists in the first period of that blowout win over Colorado. So this is going to be a tough one tonight.
Yeah, they're a good team. And we saw it firsthand a few weeks ago back in their building. Really difficult building to play in. And then coming off the win against Colorado. So going to need to be ready. I mean, it's both these teams in the state of Florida are a handful, and we'll try to carry some of that momentum over from the Panther game. But no, we've got a handful with Tampa. They were always well-coached team, and we know the firepower with Kucherov, Point, Hedman, those guys. It'll be a good test tonight.
All right, so you've got the game tonight, and then you don't play until Friday at home against New York. What is the Carberry Thanksgiving? What does that look like?
Quiet. It's a quiet one. Yeah, we're head back home, chill out Thursday, relax, and then we've got the back-to-back because we play the Islanders afternoon game at Capital One, and then we go on the road and play in Jersey on Friday.
Or Saturday.
So no extended family or anything?
Just my family, and then my dad is going to be home from the mentors trip, and he'll join us there. So it'll just be us five hanging out, relaxing, get ready for the back-to-back.
Perfect.
Very good. Perfect.
Will you watch more football or more hockey film?
I'll hammer out the film in the morning, and then it's all football time. Let's go.
Nice.
Can Coach Carbs, can he name all three matchups, both teams? Let's tell a quick pop quiz.
Oh, you're putting me on the side. Okay, so obviously I know Detroit plays. I want to say they play Chicago.
That's
right.
You nailed that. That's the first game.
Gosh.
We'll prompt you Dallas.
I'll give you a hint. Dallas hosts an NFC East opponent. I'll give you a hint there.
That stinks.
Yeah, they're playing, oh my gosh, they can win this game, right? The Giants.
Yes. There you go. And what's the nightcap?
Oh, man. I don't know. I don't know.
That's the tough one. Green Bay hosts Miami in the third game.
At Lambeau.
At Lambeau, yeah. I think Tua is going to be playing in like 25 or 30 degree weather, so we'll see how that shakes out for him.
You know what's crazy? You guys will love this. Mm. You guys will love this. So we go to morning skate in Florida, okay, at Fort Lauderdale. They've got a new facility there. So we show up in the morning. We're doing pregame skate. And I hear from our equipment guys that Tua and Jalen Waddle are in the facility.
Oh, mm. Okay.
And I just thought it was like, oh, they just were, you know, coming to visit the local team, Panthers, saying hi, doing a meet and greet or whatever. But apparently, and don't quote me on this, they were on the ice actually using it as preparation for Lambeau, like throwing passes, patterns on the ice because of the weather in Lambeau.
Oh, wow. What, just to feel the cold? Is that what it
probably
is?
Probably acclimate conditions. Yeah, that's a good nugget.
What I mean, how can you,
proper preparation prevents poor performance, EB?
How do you stand? Like, who can throw a ball on ice and not kill themselves?
It's a good question.
I know. And I was like, I know turf can be, or grass can be like when it's frozen, it's really hard. But I don't know if it's as slippery as ice out there at Lambeau, but they were doing it.
Interesting. Dude, okay. Thanks for that nugget. I did not know that.
That is nutty.
Cakes is going to start Jalen Waddle in fantasy now.
Now he moves up my board, Coach.
Right.
All right, Coach. Well, best of luck tonight against Tampa. Have a great Thanksgiving, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Okay. Sounds good. Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Spencer Carberry, presented by the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. More physicians, more locations. More advanced care centered around one thing. You visit cfaortho.com. We will talk fantasy football with Dave Richard coming up at 8 o'clock. But next, we hit the skins here on the Junkies.
Brian Robinson Jr. will join the Junks coming up at 9 o'clock. So that's in just about half an hour. So be sure to keep listening for that. We wanted to get into this article published by Chris Trapasso on CBSSports.com. The headline, what's happening to Jaden Daniels? Analyzing the Commander quarterback's sudden decline. So Jaden Daniels, in his first six starts, completed 75% of his throws. He was averaging almost 8.5 yards per attempt. He had 6 passing touchdowns, just 2 picks.
Let me just say, that completion percentage is unsustainable. It's certainly unsustainable for a rookie. And so for anybody to think, oh, there's been a drop-off, well, that was crazy.
Yeah, so he scored 5 times on the ground as well. He's averaging 5.11 yards per carry during those first 6 starts. Now, over the last 3 games, all losses for the Commanders, Daniels has completed just 61.5% of his throws.
Mm-hmm.
His yards per attempt has come down basically a full 2 yards. He's at 6.42 yards per attempt with 3 touchdowns and 3 picks.
There are a lot of numbers in this article. I sent this to Drab yesterday. I read it, and it was interesting. A couple of factors.
I also read it last night.
One had to do with Yak. So early in the season, first 6 weeks of the season, Washington was 10th in the football in yards after the catch per reception at 5.6 yards. He was also the only quarterback in the NFL with 4 receivers in the top 25 in separation, which, you know, is surprising. We talked about Luke McCaffrey, and McCaffrey hasn't had a ton of targets.
I don't get
but
that.
But he was one of the guys who was open.
Yeah, they would always say he's open all over the place.
Separation scores more than almost anybody in the NFL. Doesn't mean you're getting a ton of catches, but guys are open. So the summary from Trapasso basically said early in the season, let me see if I can find the exact paragraph, but here it is. In short, Daniels wasn't connecting on very many high degree of difficulty throws, but he was very accurate on mostly underneath routes to typically open receivers, and he took good care of the football. Plus, he ran efficiently when he didn't like what he saw in the pocket. That play style description is perfectly acceptable for a rookie quarterback. And then you see later on, it's a lot of advanced metrics, but you see that a lot of the numbers have changed, not favorably for Daniels. He's taking care of the football still, and his big-time throw rate, it's fine. And he actually points out big-time throws. Patrick Mahomes is 32nd in the NFL. So it's not just about these throws, which they say are qualified as big time throws, but where you see the dips for Jaden is the adjusted completion rate has dipped, which we've talked about. You said it wasn't sustainable. His average depth of target has come down. His pressure to sack rate has jumped. I saw Grant Paulson had a statistic about pressures. So some of the narrative to kind of defend Jaden is, well, he's getting pressured more. And the numbers actually don't say that. He's being pressured about the same amount, but he's actually being sacked more often.
I don't know. You have to tell me, you have to explain the pressure thing, because if he gets rid of the ball quickly before the pressure really develops, he just reads it, he's still pressured. Like, what is pressure? What are they saying pressure is? He was hit after he threw it? He was hit while he threw it. What's pressure? There were more guys than blockers, because that's what I see a lot. I see more guys than blockers. Like, we're getting outnumbered, or we're just getting smoked, and he's having to rush his throws. So I don't know what they consider.
Well, typically,
pressure.
I believe pressure is when a quarterback is moved off his spot.
Right. I mean, but I consider being pressured. You see the guys coming, you just get rid of it right away.
I'm taking this from Grant Paulson, who took it from PFF.
Yeah.
All right. But weeks 1 through 6, according to Pro Football Focus, Jaden Daniels was pressured 35% of dropbacks. Mm-hmm. Weeks 8 through 12, it's 32% of dropbacks. So the curious thing is, according to those stats, he's being pressured less.
I hear what you're saying.
But he's being sacked more.
My eyes tell me differently.
And the offense in general is being less effective.
That's,
I think this goes
sure.
to, if you kind of put it all together, I think Jaden's a small piece of this. I do think Jaden is a piece of this.
Yeah, I think
I think Cliff is the biggest piece. Defenses have definitely made an adjustment. I don't know if Pittsburgh gave the league a script, but around the Pittsburgh game in the last couple games, and at first I just said, well, Pittsburgh's got personnel that other teams don't have. But then you saw it again with Philly, and Philly has great personnel. I mean, Mitchell's an excellent young corner. They've got Jalen Carter. They've got talent all over that field, one of the best teams in the league. But then when Dallas, who's banged up, doesn't even have some of their key players. I know Micah was on the field, but one of their best corners wasn't there. One of their best defensive linemen wasn't there.
Micah is an all-time great.
Dallas, yeah. Dallas, in that game, they had like $100 million worth of salary cap players sidelined that weren't even on the field.
Yeah, exactly. They had number 11. That's all you need.
Okay.
Give me number 11. Part. You can have my entire defense.
They had number 11.
In fact, you could have my entire offense too, except for Jaden, and give me 11.
They had a number 11 the week before when they got ripped. Okay.
Oh, it doesn't win every time, but give me 11.
I know.
Give me that kid.
You can't have him. I know you want him, but you can't have
That's
him.
That's not why the whole team except for Jaden.
The point is, it's beyond the one game, and it's beyond just good opponents. Something has happened where the offensive production has dipped significantly, and Jaden is a part of that.
Trapasso point, this is a good line from him, I think, in this article. Washington is realizing its scheme might not be brilliant, and its pass-catching options, while good, are rarely great.
And well, do they have the number of drops in there? I mean, because I think he's really think been stricken with drops.
I think that comes into play in the whole adjusted completion percentage.
By the way, he's definitely missed throws. All quarterbacks miss throws. And he was at an unsustainable level before. And he's probably playing a little below what I think his ability is right now.
Even though they're swooning. Has
he been hurt and he hadn't been getting the reps? I buy all that Quinn said, that the rhythm wasn't there, the extra reps before and after practice. You know, the great ones, they're out repping everybody. They don't just walk out there and be great. They rep it out more than anyone.
Even though there's a dip, obviously, in the level of play and the offense, they're losing games. I'm not to the point yet where I'm looking at mock drafts for 2025. I'm not to that point yet. But I am starting to get to the point where I'm going to be looking at the shopping list for Adam Peters for top flight free agent wideouts, like who's going to be available, who they might splurge on to help out Jaden Daniels.
I might be in the minority.
The offseason.
I think the Noah Brown pickup has been huge. It's been huge.
I think it's been good. I think he's a quality wide receiver, but I don't think he's special.
He might not be special, but he's a big guy.
If he were special, he would have stuck with either Dallas or Houston. Like, he's not in that level. Like,
no, he's not special, but he's a quality receiver.
He's a solid player.
That has helped this football
team.
He's
a solid addition, especially late. Was he picked up in training camp? I think it was late in training camp.
Mm-hmm.
He's a solid add. But if I'm Adam Peters, I have to look at the roster and say, I need to be better than solid. I need to have like a superstar level player to pair with Terry McLaurin to make this offense scarier and more comfortable for Jaden.
This is from The Athletic. So I read Trapasa's article, then I saw this from The Athletic yesterday. We had Mike Jones from The Athletic earlier on the show, and he was part of it. And this is less numbers, more kind of observational and opinions from Ted Wynn, who writes for Fantasy Football Film Analysis, but also at The Athletic. The offense is far too predictable. Defenses are catching up. They haven't been as willing to run Jaden Daniels after his rib injury, and so much of the system is predicated on the quarterback options and scrambles. They're handicapped without it. Now, I do think that they utilized it more this week against Dallas. The short passes and screens haven't been as effective either. Their unwillingness to throw the ball downfield is maddening to watch. Offensive coordinator Cliff Kingsbury was dismissive when asked about the trend of his offenses falling off a cliff in the second half of seasons during his time in Arizona, but it looks like it's happening again. Kyler Murray took a beating when Kingsbury was his head coach, and the same scenario is playing out with Daniels. When asked about the regression last week, Kingsbury said he didn't plan on changing his offense, but the system desperately needs to evolve. And here are the numbers. Wynn points it out. We've talked about it a lot, but he has two specific statistics during his tenure running the offense in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
2019 to 2022. Points per drive, weeks 1 through 8, 2.29. Weeks 8 through 17, 1.91. Pretty significant points per drive. Drops
25%.
Maybe. And then EPA per drive, which is expected
points added.
Points added was 10th in the league. I'll just go with that. 10th in the league first half of the season. 24th in the league second half of the season.
Mm-hmm. No, listen.
It's history. Can he buck history? Sure. But right now, it seems to be repeating itself.
Yeah, I got to imagine that they're very well aware of this, and they're self-evaluating, and they're trying to figure it out. One thing I will say is I think Jaden's particularly good, and you see it in end-of-game scenarios in quick game. And they were running a lot of quick game, no huddle stuff, or, you know, Peyton just standing there calling a play. Mm-hmm. Last few weeks, and this is perception, so this could be wrong. My perception is they like to do it after completed passes, not as much as when they're running. And so we're running 2 yards. We're not doing quick game, right? So I just feel like we need to get the passing game involved more intermediate stuff.
I mean, he was on the drive where it ended with Ertz catching the touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're behind 20-9 at that point. He was 7-for-7 on passing. I kind of feel like the defense was different there, and he's just passing. So
I agree.
But I do think there probably is something tempo.
They're better at up-tempo. He's good at it.
Yeah.
He's good at it.
All right, don't forget, coming up in just about 20 minutes, we'll be joined by Jaden Daniels' teammate, Brian Robinson Jr. He'll be on the show coming up at 9 a.m.